We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled A Lamp to My Feet, Light to My Path, a study through Psalm 119. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
We're excited to be a part of this family that God's put together and just can't wait to see what God's going to do through Psalm 119. And so just a little fun fact that I wanted to share with you. President Abraham Lincoln established the United States Secret Service to prevent the illegal production of money. During Lincoln's administration, more than one-third of the nation's money was counterfeit. So the USSS was created to thwart the counterfeiting. Now, what we have here in Psalm 119 is what the true law, the true word of God is. It's not a counterfeit. How do you distinguish what is real and what is a counterfeit? You handle the real stuff. You've all heard the stories of when you're in the bank, when you're being trained in the bank to find the counterfeit bills, that you just go through real money over and over and over and over again so that when that counterfeit slips in, you recognize it right away. And there's going to be a lot of counterfeit things that people are going to say are the word of God. But we're not going to be fooled by that. We're not going to be deceived by that because we are women of the word. And I'm excited about this study. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. This morning, we had a great time together as well. And although this morning I had a little cup of coffee before I started talking. So whew, that was, we rushed through the first half. But I am so excited to see all of you here and can't wait to get into the book of Psalm 119. And so we thank you, Father, for your word. We pray, God, as we just enter into it, Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, Lord, that all men would see you above anything else. In Jesus' name, amen. So the book of Psalms is perhaps the most widely used book in the Bible, It explores this huge range of human experience in a very personal and practical way. It is 150 songs that run from the creation through the patriarchal, theocratic, kings, exile, and post-exilic periods. It sounds very deep, all those big words there, but it just means that it started in creation and it ran through a certain portion of time. And so all of this, the huge breadth and of subject matter in the Psalms includes all kinds of diverse topics such as jubilation, such as war, peace, worship, judgment, messianic prophecy, praise, and lament. They are all a part of this book of Psalms. The Psalms were set to the accompaniment of stringed instruments, and they served as temple hymn books and a devotional guide for the Jewish people. So all of this was the great songbook. The book of Psalms was gradually collected together and originally was unnamed, probably because it came from all of these different directions of things, covering all these different areas and variety of material. It did, however, become to be known as the Book of Praises. The Book of Praises, because almost every psalm contains some note of praise to God. Almost every psalm contains some note of praise to God. Now, I want to encourage you at this point as we I just want to stop for just a second. And as we, there are so many of you in here, and I'm so excited to see so many of you in here. And it has been a custom that we start out really big, and then, I think I have a headache. But little things come in and detract us from fellowshipping together. And I want you ladies to commit tonight to being a part of this study for 11 weeks. Just making up your mind right now, Lord, I'm making this commitment that I'm going to be at this study for 11 weeks. And then we're going to trust God to get us all here. Because honestly, there are sometimes, by the end of the day, I am wanting to go home. But God said, I want you to be here because you're the teacher. But all of that aside, just commit to this. Commit to this 11 weeks and make this your decision. So that you don't miss one thing that God has for you and you don't miss any of the fellowship. So this book of Psalms spans from Moses in 1410 BC to Ezra and Nehemiah into 430 BC. The Psalms is divided up into five books. You probably already knew that before you came in here. Book one is Psalm 1 through 41. Book 2 is Psalm 42 through 72. Book 3 is Psalm 73 through 89. Book 4 is Psalm 90, which is a Psalm of Moses, through 106. And Book 5 is Psalm 107 through 150. Book 5 is where we find our subject of study for the next 11 weeks. Now, Psalm 119 is an acrostic in praise of the Scriptures. That's what Bruce Wilkinson says. It is an acrostic in praise of the Scriptures. It is one of 9 acrostic psalms. And 6 of those acrostic psalms were written by David, 6 of those 9. Each section of 8 verses begins with a Hebrew letter in order in the alphabet. You have a chance to learn Hebrew while you're in here, but you won't hear it from me. So it's probably written out in the top of your Bible in each section. So you just, go online and have it pronounced for you. And then you will have the whole alphabet memorized by the time you get out of here. So that'll be an opportunity for you. It's said that David taught his children the Hebrew alphabet by using this psalm. He taught them the alphabet, but he clearly taught them something much more, something more valuable than just the alphabet. He taught them the word or the law of God at the same time. He just incorporated all of it into the everyday life, and that's what God wants us to do, is incorporate the word of God into our everyday life, into everything that we do. How many of you can remember an advertisement jingle? Anybody else in here, you can kind of go, I remember, you'll wonder where the yellow went when you brushed your teeth with Pepsodent. That was so long ago, and yet I can sing that with ease and remember every word of it. It's so long. But I can remember every word of it and the tune that goes with it. Well, my friend Joni heard her young daughter singing, "Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry." And la, 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 the rest of it. Now, this is some time ago, and I want you to know this girl is now, the daughter is in her 40s, so just so that you know, I was much younger in those days as well. Anyway, Joni said, let's change some of those words in there. So they took that, they took that tune and they changed it to Psalm 121:8. Now it sounds like this. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Psalm 121:8. Just learned a whole verse just by singing it. Singing helps us to learn it. She took a familiar tune and added the scripture to memorize the scriptures. Now, John Corson puts scripture to music. He says it that way. I put scripture to music because he said, I do not have a singing voice. However, I need to make sure that my congregation knows the Word of God. And the best way to learn the Word of God and to memorize it is to sing it, to put it to some tune. Now, I read all through the book, Psalm 119, singing the whole thing through there. One day when I was reading through it. And it was really a lot of fun. And I realized how much I remembered simply by singing it. And so we have in this session memory verses. Now, don't go there. Memory verses. Oh, that's so old to use that term, memory verses. That was when we were in little Sunday school kids, right? Oh, I'm too old to memorize anything. I can't remember where I put my keys, for goodness sakes. How am I going to memorize this scripture? Way back, where we are going to take these Psalms, I hope to put them to music so that we will hide God's word in our heart that we might not, what? Sin against him. And so we want to hide God's word into our heart. And the best way to do that is to memorize that. And that's Psalm 119:11, that we hide the word of God in our hearts so that we don't sin against him. Another thing that happened way back when, there was a group called the Iron Butterfly. And the Iron Butterfly had a song, Inda Gada Da Vida. Now, I remember hearing that song. And I remember that I didn't know anything about what that song was about. And I didn't understand the words, and I didn't understand why they were singing it, but it went on for 17.05 minutes. It just went on and on and on. What we have here in Psalm 119 is the longest song in the book of Psalms. And it takes 16 minutes to read it slowly. So this is almost as long as the other guy's song, and it's much better with a lot better content. So it has 22 stanzas with no particular bridge or chorus that holds it together, except for the continued reference to God's word, to God's law. When you talk about the hook in a song, there's the hook in the song is something that keeps coming up in that song that helps you to remember it. It helps you hold your interest. It helps you to remember what the song is about. And the hook in this psalm or this song is the word of God or the law of God. And so it has 22 stanzas, as I said. Each stanza begins with a Hebrew letter, 22 letters in the alphabet. And we'll cover two each week, so 16 verses each week, and that will carry us on through 11 weeks. Should you miss a study? Should you miss a study and you can't come at night, but you could come in the morning, please feel free to come in the morning if you can't come at night. Now, you can't come in the morning, you can't come at night. What are you going to do? There are a couple of things that you can do. You can, one, you can, well, I think there's one thing you can do, actually. You can listen to it online. You can go to the women's ministry page, go to our website, refugefamily.com, and go to the women's ministry page, look for teaching, and there by Thursday will be the lesson that's been taught on Tuesday. So if you miss something, you can do that. If you regularly, okay, already took care of that. I am so together, I'm worried. Yeah, organization. What? So, yeah. So here in Psalm 119, we have the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God, and we must obey. It is the Word of God. Actually, we have the law of the Lord, for the law of the Lord is contained in the Word of the Lord. The law of the Lord is contained in the Word of the Lord. The law of the Lord from the Word of the Lord. Let me teach you another song. We're going to do a lot of singing through this book of Psalms. Turn in your Bible. If you have a King James or you have a New King James, it works very, very well. Some of you might already know this song, but turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. If you have a Living Bible, it's not going to work for you. So you're just going to have to follow along on your own, or another translation doesn't work quite as well as the King James or the New King James. And I'm going to give you just a second to get to that. Psalm 19. Okay, let's start at verse 7. And if you remember it, just sing right along, or if you catch the tune, sing right along as we go through the verses. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 11, moreover by them is thy servant warned, is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them there is great reward. Look at you guys. You just memorize, if you hadn't sung it before, how you gathered in and you got a part of that. How many of you knew that song already? Quite a few. Yes, we used to sing that a long time ago. And we used to take the scriptures and we used to put them to music. And now we remember them because of that music. And so now you have those memorized, Psalm 19, 7 through 11, and you will remember them and it'll come to your mind when you need them. Psalm 19 is tied together with Psalm 119. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. And more to be desired are they than gold. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Now, we had some bees in our house. Not in our house, but up in the eaves. And we got the honey from it. And I'll tell you, that is just, it's a different tasting honey than I'd gotten in the stores. And there is almost a vanilla taste to it. I don't know. Somebody would told me that it's because they use these flowers instead of those flowers. But sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb, that just drips of that sweetness. God is good. God is good. I want to remind you that no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter how much you're challenged, no matter how much you are just going through, God is good. He is always good. And we're going to see that here in Psalm 119. So I wonder, do you like rules? Do you like laws? I know I was standing out there and someone was doing something about the colors of the little things you got on your name tags and stuff. And so I made sure that they all got one of those things because we have one of the gals that was there is a rule follower. The other one is a rebel. And so, yeah, oh, it'll happen. It'll all come together. So there are people who like the rules and want to follow them. There are those who don't like rules, don't want to follow them. There are laws that are there in place, though. This is just a little example. There are laws in place that protect our lives, convert our souls, as Psalm 19 says. Well, some we don't like, and some we might break because it just doesn't make sense to us. Just doesn't make sense to us that that's the law. Now, there are some things that I see in the laws of our land that I say that to. It doesn't make sense to me. Now, if you, for instance, the law says that the speed limit is 65. I don't know where it's 65, but it says that it's 65. Now, I can go over to 70, and I don't expect to be stopped. Why? Because I have learned that there is a grace, that 5 miles per hour over the speed limit is grace. But now, if I'm going 80 in a 65-mile-an-hour zone, I can expect to eventually, I'm telling you gals, eventually it's going to happen. You're going to get busted. I'm just saying. And then what do when we get pulled over because we're speeding? I can't believe. Why would you pull me over? I was only going 90 for crying out loud. I was going with the flow traffic. I don't know what the problem is. But we fight the law, and then we justify ourselves because we don't know. This is just a straight area here. I should be able to go as fast as I want to. It doesn't make sense to me that I can only go 65. You see, we do that with the law of the Lord, too. We look at it and we say, it doesn't make any sense to me. Another illustration. I might say that stop sign in that place does not make sense to me. So I'm not going to stop for it. Or I do a California stop. I love that. Which is no stop at all. Don't fool yourselves. It's no stop at all. So I'm not going to stop for that. And so you go right through that stop sign, and out of a blind corner comes another car and hits you. Oh, now I understand why that stop sign was there. Now I get it. You see, I don't have the background or the why of why that sign was put there. And I didn't trust the people who put it there. And that's what we do to the Lord. Sometimes we just don't trust the Lord. And who can we trust but the Lord? Who can we trust but the Lord? Everyone else will let us down. He'll never let me go. He'll never let me down. Is that what we sang? He'll never let me down. Well, God did let me down in this. Oh, did he? Can you look back to that thing where you felt that God let you down? Can you look back to it today and go, yeah, but he was holding me. He was carrying me through it. He's never going to let you down. So I don't trust the one who are in charge. Where does that get me? It gets me caught in a mess that could have been avoided if I just would have kept the laws. It could have been avoided. The mess in my own life could have been avoided if I had just followed the laws of the Lord, which are perfect, that convert the soul. Those testimonies of the are sure, making wise the simple. I could have been a wise, wise person. Psalm 119, 126 says, "It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void." Now, when you were studying through that, did you see that verse? It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. And don't we see some laws that people have regarded as void? Some of the laws in our country today, the laws of God that have been avoided by people because we don't understand why it's like that. That doesn't make sense to me that it's like that. Well, let me talk to you about Target. I'm just saying. That doesn't make sense to me. It is common sense. Now, I told the ladies in the morning, and I will tell you now, you know, Target has said they're going to build all the one bathroom so that anybody can use that one bathroom. But don't be fooled into believing that they've changed their stance, because they haven't changed their stance on men's bathrooms and women's bathrooms and men's changing room and women's changing rooms. They haven't changed their stance on it at all. But am I going to stand here and tell you I don't think you should stop at Target, shop at Target? There was a time when I did say that. However, that's between you and God, whether or not God wants you to handle it that way. But here's what I know God wants us to do. He wants us to pray for that leadership at Target, because that's where the change will take place. That's where the change in hearts of people take place, is when we pray and when we seek the Lord and when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in someone else's life. When I get out of the way so that somebody else can get healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to be praying for them. We need to be praying for our leaders, and we need to get in there, those who have regarded God's law as void. There is one law that we can't break, and that's the law of gravity. You just can't do it. Now, we can defy the law of gravity. You know, we can get up in a plane. Birds fly. There are things that we throw a ball up into the air, but everything comes down. It can't stay up there indefinitely because of the law of gravity that brings us back to earth, brings us back down. God's word, God's laws are the law of gravity to us. God's word, God's law are the law of gravity to us. It keeps us centered. It keeps us focused. It keeps us on solid ground. God's word will keep us on solid ground. Now, the Psalms author is unknown to us. Maybe it was Ezra with his love for the word, for the law. Maybe even Nehemiah. You remember when Nehemiah went in to rebuild Jerusalem, and he went into all the rubble, and as they had to remove the rubble, what did they find in there? They found the laws of God. And you remember that they stood all day and read the law before the people, and the people are crying and crying as they hear again the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And as they read it to it, they began to reap. They had forgotten the law of the Lord, and now it would refresh their hearts. Maybe it was written by Daniel, that great one who prayed so beautifully for the people. Personally, I go with the old commentaries, the older commentators who say it was David. And this is why. Because as I look at this psalm, I see David written all over it. I also believe that this psalm was written over the course of his lifetime. Because I find this in here that David said over here. I find this over here in another time of his life that he said it. I find this over here that is another thing that I can put together with another psalm that David wrote. Perhaps he had one book, a book of remembrance, so to speak, that he wrote things in over his lifetime. When James Taylor, my husband's favorite singer and songwriter, when he gets an idea for a new song, he dedicates one book to all of the ideas with that song. So if he starts a song, starts writing a song, any ideas that go with that song go into that one book, all about that one subject, that one song there. And I think that that's probably what happened here with Psalm 119. I believe that that's how it was put together. Perhaps that is what David did. And I, as I read through the Psalms over and over and over, I understand David's life so much better. And I see these things about David in this book of Psalms 119. I see a few things. I see disappointment, things just not going according to the writer's expectation. Have you seen some things not go according to your expectations? Anyone else seen anything go not according to your expectations? Well, Psalm 119:28 says, "My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word." I see in here discouragement, discourage. I have lost my courage. Discouragement that brings an emotional fatigue from what? Spiritual warfare. Anyone else know what spiritual warfare is? Is there anyone in here that does not know that term? I'm really being serious here because I don't want anybody to leave this room going, I don't know what she was talking about. Spiritual warfare. Raise your hand if you've never heard that term before. You have never heard that term of spiritual warfare. What is spiritual warfare? Spiritual warfare is the war that is going on in the heavenlies. There are powers and principalities that are at war on our behalf. We stand in the gap for other people. These powers and principalities that are at war for us. And this is all going on in the spiritual world. And we are to put on the whole armor of God. We are to put on the helmet of salvation. We are to put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart in right standing with God. We are to carry the sword of the word, the sword, which is the word of God. We are to have our belt cinched up, the belt of truth. Not lies, but the belt of truth. We are to have our feet shod with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wonder how many of us, when we get up in the morning, do we put on that whole armor of God? Because we are in a spiritual war, ladies, and it is going to get harder. So put your armor on. Don't leave the house without it. In fact, don't leave your bed without it. Put on that whole armor of God before you even step out of bed. My precious friend this morning came in, and she's all bandaged up, and she got out of bed, was putting on her she had put on her socks first, and then she started to put on her pants. Well, she slipped, and she hadn't really even got out of bed yet, but she slipped, and she broke her wrist, and she broke four of her toes on one foot. You see, put on, would that have happened if she had on the whole armor of God? Yes, there's a possibility that could have happened. Bad things happened, tough things happened. Having on that armor of God doesn't mean that tough stuff's not going to happen. Doesn't mean that hard things are not going to happen in our life. It just means that we are prepared for them, and we know how to fight them, and we know who's in charge of them and who's in charge of our life. And so we want to put on that spiritual armor, that spiritual armor. And so in 119, when we lose our courage, that brings that emotional fatigue from spiritual warfare. 119, verse 8, "I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." Do not forsake me utterly. And then I see and hear despair and demoralization, abandoned hope, and a loss of all courage. Psalm 119:92, unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Unless my trust was in the Lord, I would have perished when things got rough, when things got hard. And the writer sees a duty to God to know his word and to be fed and to be renewed. He sees that duty to God. Psalm 119, 11, thy word have I hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. We see that it takes a decision, and the writer has made a decision in here. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to keep focused. Psalm 119, verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. It is a choice. And sometimes it almost feels like choice is a curse, does it, to anyone else? Sometimes, just don't make me make a decision. I don't want to make a choice in this because I'm going to make the wrong choice. Please, Lord, help me to make this choice. But I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. Your judgments I've laid before me. And then we see design and determination and discipline, bringing everything under God's control in Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, how? According to your word. According to the word of God. That means to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, but to hear what God has to say and then put feet to it, put an action to it by taking heed according to your word. Now, how can I see these things in my life? How can I see these things in my life? Verse 105, which is our key verse, which is the title of our Bible study. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. Now, if you were at the retreat, we did go over this a little bit, and we've talked about it in here before, that this lamp is something that lights just that space in front of us. Now, when we were at the retreat, I saw some ladies with a flashlight outside at after dark because they were looking at the meteor shower. And so they're out walking in the darkness, but all they could see was about this much in front of them. Just a little round piece of light that just showed their next steps that they could go for. But here's another explanation of it, maybe a better one. It's like driving your car at night. You never see further than your headlights, but you go the whole trip like that. You go the whole way with just as far as you can see on the headlights. Have any of you ever, as you were driving at night, gone, oh, I don't know what's going to be around there. Is there a corner? There might be a corner there. But you can see just as far as you need to see, and you trust the lights in your car. Why don't we trust God like that? Let me close with this direction, with this prayer, if you will. Psalm 119, 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Lord, do not let me become obsessed by anything. Lord, don't let me become addicted to anything, because it will have dominion over me. And I don't want anything to have dominion over me but the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to walk in his ways. So may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. As you begin this study and as you continue through this wonderful psalm, may he give you clarity as you study and as you seek after him. May he fill you to overflowing with his goodness. Psalm 119, verse 68, you are good and you do good. And may God get all the glory. At the end of the day, may God get all of the glory. Amen? Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.